song to you this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's a wonderful song. Wonderful. I've chosen for the subject of my sermon this morning, a saint is a sinner who never gave up. This was a very wise saying made by my guru many, many years ago. And it is a wonderful saying. There is very little difference between the sinner and the saint. It's just a tiny series of, shall we say, differences in the use of your will. The saint and the sinner are very close together in the spiritual realm, because the man who really wants wealth outside has to look to external means, good fortune, his own efforts in that way, and perhaps the way of the times, in order to get this wealth from outside. And it is not a staple thing at all. Then it is so with the man of learning. In order to learn, he has to have a brain that is bright and quick. He has to spend a lot of time in reading books, listening to lectures, and to the various things which his teachers teach him. But the sinner is very different. He has only to use his willpower. Now, there are a lot of people who say that they want God realization. But to want God realization is a very different thing than willing it. Because a want is a wish. It is not always followed up by a determined desire. It is not followed up by a tremendous volition of will to see the thing which you say you want accomplished. We say we want God realization, and we're willing to give up everything except, and these exceptions string out beyond my ability to describe. As long as you don't want to give up this or that in the material sense, you do not really want God realization. The man or the woman, the soul, who will not extend himself or herself to the utmost cannot plan on having God realization. In the Christian, in the Orthodox Christian terminology, everybody is hanging on to the coattails of Jesus the Christ, whom they think died for them specifically to save them from sin. And all they have to do is to have faith that he will save them. And they have no atonement to make. There is no such thing as vicarious atonement, except in the case of the master, the guru. And that one has to pay one third in that which they go through at the time of their crucifixion and resurrection for all those who will follow after. Now, in that sense, what the Orthodox Christian believes is true. But you have to earn the rest of the way yourself. And the guru is said to do this for you in order to take out that which is necessary and put in that truth which is also necessary for your development. So, it's a very different story than what we think. Jesus said that God realization was the pearl of great price. Now, he paid that price for his own Christhood. But he also made the statement that he who would be his disciple must pick up his own cross, which is to say his body, and follow him. This means to emulate him in every detail, to go the way of the cross, to absolutely do away with the human ego and all of its wants, all of its desires, and come to the point where you can say, with everything you've got, with no withholding, here am I, Lord, take me. Do with me as you will. If you have the courage to examine yourself, you will find that deep within the recesses of your heart, your mind, and your soul, you have reservations about the things that you will give up for God. There are a great many people who are inherently lazy, and still they say they want God realization. You have to be active in God, because faith without works is dead. It will get you nowhere. That's why those who belong to the Pentecostal type faith will never get the true God realization. They get certain psychic manifestations in the lower realms of spirit. These are the first things that happen as man's consciousness is lifted. But they are definitely still on the human side of the ledger and are merely the first workings of the divine. You must go through these stages. You must go beyond them. You must pay the price yourself. There is one phrase that applies to it very aptly. And that is where it says about Jesus, he descended into hell, and the third day he arose from the dead. Man must delve into the depths of his subconscious mind. He must find out where these lurking creatures are that are still causing him to keep his full attention from God. We must be willing to do anything and everything to serve God, even if we have to crawl on our hands and knees. Did he not also give us the power to crawl? There have been many times in my life when I have been tested to the utmost, when God has taken me not only to the edge of the precipice, but I have been pushed over. And unless his hand had been at the bottom, I would have fallen with a resounding thud. But that hand was always there. I fell with my face downward many times, and I got in the mud. But somehow, he gave me the strength and the courage and above all the desire to pick myself up and to put my cross again on my back, which is my human ego, and to walk the way of Golgotha until I came to that moment where I could give him all of myself, not just a part. You can't have these little hidden treasures in the human sense. The fact that you still want to smoke, the fact that you still want to drink, that you still want to overindulge in sex, you still want to gossip and talk about your neighbors, and all the rest of it and say you want God realization. Because your will to do away with these things is not involved. You want God realization, but you want to serve God and mammon too. You want to hang on to all of these treasures. That's why Krishna urged Arjuna. Krishna was the Hindu Christ, and Arjuna was his disciple, even as we think of Jesus the Christ and St. Paul as his disciple. And he urged him to go out on the battlefield and to fight his enemies, his relatives, those that he hugged close to his bosom. Now, was he speaking about his family relatives, that they should be destroyed? Oh, no. He was speaking about those things, those tendencies, those sins of thoughts of separation from God. That's what he was thinking about when he gave that instruction. And this is what I strive to tell all of you, that you must go out in this battlefield. But if you give power to the adverse opponent by considering him in fear, you're going to lose that battle. You have to keep your mind upon God alone when you go out into that battlefield. And as it said in this 27th Psalm this morning, God will be there. He will guide you. He will protect you. And your enemies will be made your like a footstool before you. Now this is the truth. These enemies of yours are inside of you. There will be no enemies outside. If you have what you have inside, that's a misstatement. There will be enemies, but they will have no power over you, because your full attention is upon God. You have done what Jesus instructed us first and foremost to do, and that is to seek God and His kingdom first, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. All of the information that you seek in books, all of the lectures that you attend to, striving to listen to something about the occult plane, the psychic plane, about powers, about hypnotism, about astrology, about this, about that, and the other thing, will all be given to you when you have made the supreme sacrifice. Now he went one step further, and he said that the kingdom of heaven is within. And then he went one step even farther than that, and he said, ye are the temple of the living God. So where are you going to find God except within the silence and the sanctuary of your own soul, when you have made yourself fit and pure enough to receive Him? Fear is the thing which keeps us in bondage. We fear the unknown. I know several people, some of them here in town and some in other cities, who have meditated very deeply, who have done their Kriya exercises every day, who are very devout and try to the best of their ability to find God within themselves. But they get up to a certain point, and just as they feel themselves being absorbed into the love and the peace and the bliss and the consciousness of God, they back away from it through fear. A fear of the unknown. They're afraid they're going to disappear. They will die. They won't be able to come back in the body. This is not true. I stand before you as the living example of that. You can go all the way to God and come back again. What has been taught us in the Christian scriptures is not true. We don't wait until this body leaves, as we think of it in the ordinary sense of physical death, and then go through hell, purgatory, and finally reach heaven, if we're lucky, which is seldom, they say. That isn't it at all. We do it right here in this lifetime. And the death that occurs is the death of the human ego, and it brings a death-like state. And you do go down into the depths of hell for 3 days or three separate periods of time, while your consciousness is released from the physical body, from the electrical or astral body, and from the idea or the causal body. And then, when you have been through this so-called hell of your own subconscious mind, then you are resurrected. And then gradually, the ascent into the heaven of your own being takes place, In the meantime, you do go through a place called purgatory because it is the purging of the soul after this experience of crucifixion. But you do it while you're still in this body. And you come out enlightened beings. You are not a nothing. You are not dead. But for the first time in your lives, you are really living. You find the reality of God, the reality of life. And you're no longer packing the burden of that beast on your shoulder, which is your human ego, which keeps you bound to all the things of the senses. All of your desires, your wishes, your wants, the things that you love to revel in, the things that keep you from measuring up every minute to what you should be in God. This is the truth, and we all know it. We all know it. As I've said many times before, you may be born in the virgin state physically, but true virginity is a thing to be attained, and the most miserable sinner in this world has ever known can attain that. And you don't get them to want God's realization. You don't want them to get sainthood. You don't want them to get universal consciousness and beat them to death all the time, because you cannot take people to God with a big stick. You take them with love, as the Christ said, "A new commandment I give unto ye, that ye love one another, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, this doesn't mean just the people you live with as your neighbors. It doesn't mean just your next door neighbor, or the people in your particular church or community or town. It means your neighbors all over the world, regardless of race, color, or creed. We are all the children of the one Father God. And every single great religion in this world teaches that same truth. Only because they speak a different language, they call God and the various other aspects, as we are given in our scriptures, by a name which is familiar to them in their own language. But the same truth is there. It is the truth of every man. It is every man's evolution from being the animal part of man. Then he grows to be a man that is reaching out for higher things. And gradually, as he works, he becomes a God man. And not only can he become just a God man, but he can become the Christed one, the anointed one. That's the meaning of the word Christ. It is from the Greek, and it means anointed. What a blessed experience it is to release all of your burdens at the feet of the Lord, who dwells not up there, but he's there too, but inside of yourself. That's where you find him. Not through raising your hands and saying, "Praise the Lord," every minute. You get to sound like parrots. And it's just an act. When you praise the Lord, which you should do every moment of your life, and thank him for your blessings, you should do it in the quietness of your own soul. There's nothing wrong about doing it outwardly if you meet it, but don't make a fetish of it. Have this love for him in your heart, inside. Have your mind forever dwelling upon him. In everything that you do, do it for him. But know that you of yourself are nothing. That is your Father who is doing the works. Fear is a terrible thing. Do you realize that when you put out negative thoughts, that you can infect a whole nation or a whole world? It starts with one individual who is negative, who puts out fear, and it spreads, and it spreads first to another individual or to a group of individuals. They in turn spread, and you have a whole nation in fear, and we find ourselves in exactly that position now. Somebody told me the other day that they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that. They couldn't get a job because look at what the situation was. Your job awaits you. I don't care what the situation is, if your consciousness is what it should be in God. Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you all of the good things of his kingdom. This is the spiritual kingdom, and it is also this kingdom of earth, which also came from him and is a part of him and his life. Because God is both human and divine. How can we doubt it when he said that he made us in his image and likeness? This is really the truth. When you think of the glory of that, that the living God is right inside of this form which He created, in your form, in mine, in everyone's. What a wonderful thing it is. And what is there to fear? I should think we would fear to hang on to the things that keep us in bondage. That is the real fear, and the only fear. But there's a story told about a great nature lover. And he has spent many, many years in the woods. I've forgotten what his name is now. But in any case, he spent time studying the animals and their habits. And he found that the only place where man had to fear an animal or a snake is where man had been. And he had generated that fear himself. So the story is told about this man being out in the woods one time, and another man was with him and witnessed this that happened. And there was a fellow who came hobbling up, and he was suffering from snake bite. And the man determined that this was true, and this man said to him, "You should have seen that old diamond head." He said, "He really was the worst one I've ever seen." And he said the stench that he threw off from him, he said, was absolutely unbelievable. It was horrible. And the man said, "But the snake smells like sweet cider." "Well, not this one didn't," he said. "And you can ask the other two men who came along at the same time," he said, "because they also witnessed the same thing." So the man said to him, "Let's have the whole story." He said, "It was your fear that the snake got, and you generated fear in him. And so he was so fearful of you that he struck out and he bit you. And what you smelled was not the snake, but your fear and his, which you had generated." Now that is really a story. And it is the truth. I know, because I too have smelled that. And I have also smelled the sweetness of God in individuals who have come before me. There are some great ones who are so much with God, their hearts, their minds, their souls, their whole being so much with God, that they exude a fragrance that is more wonderful than any perfume you could go and buy at a cosmetic counter. This is the truth. And when you come to certain stages of spiritual realization, you will find that this whole fragrance permeates your being because you are in the bliss of God. Let us not think of fear. Let us not think of want. Let us not think that things can't be done. They can be done if we will to do them. This thing of willpower is the difference between a saint and a sinner. A saint was a sinner who never gave up until he reached sainthood. And you can spend the rest of your life with more important engagements, you think, than going to God, of spending your attention, of putting your attention on Him, of giving love and service to Him in every form that you meet. But you'll wind up with nothing. You wind up like the great King Alexander, who was a very cruel and ruthless king. And he ransacked nations and ravaged whole countries in order to gain wealth for himself. But at the time he was dying, he was heard to make a request. "When I die," he said, "bury me with my hands outstretched and palms upward to show that no matter what I have accumulated in this world, I go to God empty-handed. I have nothing in my hands." The only things that you can take with you into the next incarnation are the things that you have built in your character this time, in your godliness, that you will take with you. But let me remind you of something else, that if you do not go all the way to God and you refuse to give up the habits which are keeping you from seeking Him, from giving Him your all of these attachments, you will also take those with you and you will...